Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, before we can lay aside the examination of the Thanksgiving section of Paul's epistle to Philemon, we have yet one final item for which Paul gave thanks. He gave thanks, first of all, for Philemon's faith, and secondly, for his love, and thirdly, for his ministry to the church. That's the one we looked at on the broadcast yesterday, but there is a fourth one, and we want to examine that before we move on to the body of the epistle. Now, remember, the Thanksgiving section, verses 4 through 7, was Paul's utilizing a customary part of an epistle in that day to make it specific for Christian purposes. The Romans would thank the pagan gods in this section. Paul is going to thank the one true God, and he's going to be very deliberate and explicit about what he's giving thanks for. Nothing perfunctory here. Paul is truly filled with thanks and has some specific things that he wants to thank God for. And he gives God thanks in prayer, and he gives thanks to Philemon in person and in public, but he has some very specific things that he wants to give God thanks for. And those are the things that we are looking at on this Tuesday, October 10. Thank you for joining us, and please remember that we are in need of your help in order to continue ministering God's Word on this station. The section, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective to the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, for We have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. All right, what did Paul give thanks for? He gave thanks for Philemon's faith, his love, his ministry to the church, but finally, he gives thanks for Philemon's encouragement to the Apostle Paul. And that's the first part of verse 7. We have great joy and consolation in your love. Don't miss that part. I thank my God that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus, for we, meaning Paul and those who are with him in Rome, we have great joy and consolation in your love, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. We learned on the broadcast yesterday that Philemon's love to the saints was a tangible love. It was a financial love. It was literally helping them out of his store of resources that God had blessed him with, his abundance of resources. He was a sharing out of those resources to those in the Philemon church, or in the Colossian church, who had specific needs, who were under duress, who were under pressure, who were experiencing trouble and had pressing concerns and sorrows that in some cases could be relieved in whole or in part by a monetary gift. Now, when Paul talks about money, he generally talks about it in very very general terms that are exceedingly polite. So sometimes we miss the point because he doesn't always come out directly to say what he is actually saying, but he doesn't say it in the most direct way possible. It's a polite way of dealing with the subject of money. And so we find that same pattern here, and we find it other places in the New Testament. But when we start breaking down these words and looking specifically at what is said, we come to the conclusion that I just stated, namely, that what Paul is thanking God for is Philemon's generous bestowment of financial help to the church in Colossae. Now, we already know that he helped the church financially by providing a place for them to meet in his own home. That was certainly a big help, and that cost Philemon something financially to do that. We have no way of calculating that, but you can't do that sort of thing without any cost whatsoever, as I'm sure you can well appreciate. But in addition to that, we are told here that Philemon was responsible for relieving pressure that had come to the saints. That is commendable. That is biblical. That's exactly why God gives a surplus to some, so that they can help those who have need. And the Scripture teaches that very clearly. But now, Paul says, all of this brings great encouragement to me. In other words, Philemon's generous ministry to others brought great joy to Paul. Paul was encouraged. Paul was strengthened. Paul was comforted by Philemon's act of generosity to others. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Philemon ministered to the church at Colossae, but in doing so, he was ministering to Paul in Rome. I don't suppose he even thought about that. He just saw a need. He recognized, I have a supply. This brother has a need. I will give some of my supply to help with his need. He did that because he knew that was the right thing to do. That was what Christ would have him do, probably never realizing that when he did that, he was also ministering to the Apostle Paul in Rome. Now, isn't it interesting that Paul's giving of thanks here in regard to Philemon's giving was not out because of Philemon's giving to Paul? It was because of Philemon's giving to others. I hope that we are not the kind of Christian who can only feel gratitude when we are the recipient of some bestowment, but when a bestowment goes to someone else, that we either are indifferent or, God forbid, even a little bit envious, jealous, and covetous because it went to them instead of to me. May God deliver us from that kind of spirit. But that certainly is not what the Apostle Paul had. Did Paul have financial needs in Rome? Well, he certainly did. Now, I don't know whether he had a shortage or not, because it may be that the supply was coming to him from other sources. But yes, he had financial needs in Rome. He had to pay the rent on the rented house where he was under house confinement. He had to supply food. That wasn't supplied by the Roman government. They didn't feed their prisoners. Prisoners had to feed themselves or be fed by their friends and relatives, or else they would starve. Paul had expenses. Paul had needs in Rome. Did Philemon help with any of those? We don't have any indication that he did. Did Paul feel a pinch? Was he in a tight situation financially? Were his expenses exceeding the income that God had supplied for him? We have no way of knowing. There's no indication of that. There's no mention in the Scriptures that Paul was feeling abased, as he puts it in Philippians chapter 4, when he talks about abounding and abasing, that is, having surplus and at times and suffering need at other times. And there's no indication that he was in one of these suffering need times when he was in Rome. So God must have been supplying his needs some other way. But I'm sure Paul had ministry opportunities and responsibilities and desires that he thought of as I do and as others do. If the Lord would supply X number of dollars, I'd sure love to do this. I'd love to add this ministry to our church. I'd love to supply this need. I'd love to help this missionary. There are a lot of things that come to mind, and we say, if the Lord would supply it, I often think in terms like this. If the Lord would supply it, I know some other radio stations I would love to air the Beacon broadcast on. We have opportunities. We have stations that are enlisting our broadcast, would like to have us air our broadcast on their station. We get a lot of these inquiries, and we just don't have the money to walk through all of those open doors. And oftentimes I think it sure would be wonderful if the Lord would supply a surplus so that we could start adding some additional radio stations and see the Word of God being broadcast in an even wider area than it is now. But I promise you, folks, I promise you that when I see God supplying the needs of someone else or some other ministry, it doesn't make me envious or jealous. I don't say, that should have come my way, or why didn't some of that come my way, or I wish I'd gotten that instead of that person. I promise you that when it is a worthy cause, my heart rejoices. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, for supplying that need for that ministry, for that brother. That's the spirit that the Apostle Paul had. That's the spirit that I want to have. May God help me to have it at all times. That's the spirit that honors the Lord. And so Paul thanks God for Philemon's encouragement to himself. Now, what do we learn in all of this? Well, surely one thing we should learn is that the purpose for living, the reason why God didn't take us directly to heaven when he saved us, is to leave us here to live for Christ and to serve others for Christ's sake. And only eternity will reveal the full impact of obedient faith for the cause of Christ. We should also learn in this section the dangers of self-centeredness, not to be too wrapped up in your own affairs in order to be able to serve Christ and others. Only eternity will reveal the full folly of a wasted, self-centered life. Don't let that be yours. May God be pleased, don't let that be mine. We further learn in this Thanksgiving section the necessity of regeneration. Only the new birth produces the changed heart that enables people to live for Christ and others. Philemon was serving Christ because he had a heart changed by the grace of God. And if you don't have that kind of heart that desires to serve others, that desires to share of the blessings that God has bestowed upon you, to share them with others, then you need to question whether you have a changed heart at all. You very well may need to be born again. You need to acknowledge your need and repent of your self-centeredness and go to Christ for salvation. And this section teaches us the path of useful service. We can serve Christ in very tangible ways by helping Christ's people, by helping his servants, his sheep who are in need. And we need to do more of that as we are bringing honor and glory to our Lord here upon the earth. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.